Building for a Changing Climate. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. A group of planners and designers is arguing that we need to rethink the way we make our buildings. The U.S. Green Building Council and the University of Michigan recently put out a report. It's called Green Building and Climate Resilience. It says design teams should start making buildings that are better suited to a changing climate. That could mean redesigning heating and cooling and stormwater systems, and it could mean changing landscaping. Larissa Larson is the lead author of the report. We met up on a corner in Ann Arbor to take a look at a new high-rise apartment building that's going up.
This looks like a fairly traditional apartment building, and that's completely fine. We want to start to be thinking that this building is going to be inhabiting conditions that are different than what has been in Michigan for a long time.
One of the things that really stood out to me in your report was when you wrote, while climate has always been integrated into the building professions, our codes, standards, and practices typically assume the future will be similar to the past. What do you mean by that?
In architecture, they use something called the typical meteorological year, and it's a way to understand what we think are going to be the needs of the building from a heating, cooling perspective, a consumption perspective, really. And it's based on information from about 1970. Well, we know in Ann Arbor that in 1970, spring came about a week to 14 days later than it comes now. And so we've got to make sure that the information we're feeding into the models to generate what are the right sizes of equipment and the capacity of those systems, we need to change that up. And so that we actually anticipate not only what it is today, but looking ahead, what is it going to be in 2040, 2070, at the end of the century?
How is the climate expected to change in the Great Lakes region?
In this region, we're expecting higher temperatures, more extreme heat events. Now, depending on what happens with emissions scenarios, people are thinking that Michigan could emulate more of a situation like Kentucky, all the way to the most extreme emissions scenarios. Say it might even be like northern Texas, which is a little amazing to me. So we're going to see an increase in the number and size of drought-prone areas. So we've got to be thinking pretty strategically about how we want to use our water in our buildings and equally as important outside our buildings for landscape purposes.
How do design teams hedge their bets and design for a future that's uncertain?
One of the things that we came upon in this report is a lot of the techniques that we're encouraging people to do are good things no matter what. I'm very interested in reflective surfaces. They don't trap, hold, and re-emit the heat, but they actually bounce it back. Another strategy is pervious pavement. So that's pavement that is very similar in appearance to asphalt, but it actually has pores that allows water to move through it. Not only is that good for stormwater or on-site water management, but we also think then it allows evapotranspiration. Some of the water from the soil can actually move back through the pores and be a cooling effect on the surrounding area. And then just good honest site planning, thinking about the floodplain. Our floodplains may be expanding, and many communities are right now redrawing their floodplains to look at these. We don't want to be putting buildings in those places if we're anticipating that we may have more intense rain events.
Larissa Larson is an associate professor in the Urban and Regional Planning Program at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca.
You can find a link to the Green Building and Climate Resilience Report on our website, environmentreport.org. I'm Rebecca Williams.